BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
This podcast might contain swearing and adult content which may not be suitable for everybody. Reliving trauma through a humorous lens. That's why Alison and Fern are friends. We love misfortune. We'll spin in round. This is a podcast thanks to BBC Sounds. I like the way I couldn't click to my own song. I can't keep a rhythm.
Wheel of Misfortune with Alison and Fern, talking about the bad stuff that makes you feel good.
That's very good.
What's this podcast about?
Well, the idea is to decide who has the funniest worst experience, and we have an actual Wheel of Misfortune to choose the subjects. Because I don't like making decisions, Fern.
And what's the subject this week? I think it's a classic one.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's breakups.
Amazing.
Yes.
As usual, we asked you to send in your voice notes with your worst breakup stories. So thanks, everyone that sent them in.
Yeah, genuinely, thank you so much.
Do you want to hear the first one?
Yeah, I'd love to. Please play it to me.
Hang on. I have a friend, and we'll just call him... We'll call him Hamish for the time being, basically. And Hamish was going out with this girl from Austria, and things were kind of getting rocky between them. And then one day, I think, what was this? Yeah, he thought his girlfriend was getting off with some other lad, and he wasn't. She wasn't, excuse me. And so then he went into her house, and he was pissed drunk as well. Like, this is like 11 o'clock at night. He was pissed drunk. He's been drinking all day. He went into the house. He fucked everything around. But here's the funny part, though. The funniest part is he fucking pissed in her fucking guitar. He got her toothbrush and cut the bristles off with the scissors.
He got her toothbrush and cut the bristles off, which is more original than using it to scrub the toilet.
Yeah, it feels like he's made himself a prison shiv out of her toothbrush. And it's the only time I've ever seen no bristles on a toothbrush is in Bad Girls. And that
I thought
only
you were going to say when you were in women's prison.
Yeah, one of my many trips to women's prison.
And also, thinking, so a guitar, what would your first instinct be? I'm going to smash the guitar, right?
Absolutely.
No. I'm going to use the hollow nature of the guitar to fill it with piss. And he just...
Do you think like he stuck his willy between the guitar strings to piss into it, or did he piss through the guitar string? Like, what?
I don't know, but I think you've got similar minds in terms of being like, what's the weirdest stuff I can do? That's not even all of it. Hang on.
And then an hour later, he forgot he even did that because he was so pissed. And he thought he was robbed. And he legit tried telling the guards that we've been robbed. The place is fucking trashed and all this.
I love him.
He's amazing.
He reminds me of the priest in Father Ted that keeps telling stories and stopping to laugh and he never gets the story out.
So for people that are not from Ireland, I'll translate a bit for you. The guards are the police.
And then the guy was doing all this drunk because he then forgot all this stuff.
Yeah. And he called the police on himself. That's amazing. That's like a Hollywood film. That's like Fight Club, Memento. You know, the robber was in the house the whole time. It was me.
Right, we'll listen to the next one.
So I started seeing this girl. She was about 21, I want to say, at the time. And we'd been dating for a while. Things I thought had been going quite well. She had told me that her mum and dad, you know, were quite religious, and so was she.
Fair.
No problem with that. We had sex together, and I invited her over one evening for dinner. I spent a lot of time cooking, etc. Opened the door when it rang at the agreed time to discover her mum, dad and a priest on my doorstep who asked to come in. And I was then dumped by her mum and dad for violating her. And... they explained that the priest was there to talk to me and try to save my soul.
No.
Dumped by a priest.
Dumped
and
by
parents.
A priest. And the mental. Parents. That is what it feels like to be Catholic, I feel.
I'd say if you're a Scottish girl, maybe if you're an Irish girl, your parents are pretty much preoccupied with stopping you getting shagged.
That is a big thing.
Yeah, they don't want you to get shagged or murdered. That's the main aim to get before you leave the house. Don't get shagged or murdered.
You're a martyr if it's both, though. It's like, if you do get shagged, they want you to get murdered so they can mourn you properly.
Right. By the way, we did get mainly male submissions. We've got a girl next. Hang on.
Ooh, great.
So I met this guy on a dating app at the start of lockdown and we really hit it off. We started talking on the phone like every day for about 3 months whilst I was staying with my family. And we had like a really amazing connection. I started to really like him and we were essentially gearing up towards a relationship when we could meet in person. So the week before I was moving back to his city, the support bubble measures were announced in England and I realised that they applied to me because I live alone and that we could meet up and not have to social distance. So we both established that we wanted to have sex when we met, which in hindsight was definitely a mistake on my part. So after 3 months of like really intense anticipatory sexting, what actually happened was that he came over. We had pretty disappointing anticlimactic sex and he quite honestly hit it and quit it.
Oh my God. I'm heartbroken. Is that the end of it?
No. There is nothing worse than thinking you have a love connection with someone and then the thing she said about the disappointing sex was so
I know.
Sad.
I know.
Hurt my heart.
He came and then afterward, like he got dressed and said, "I'll leave you to put your clothes on," and walked out of my bedroom, shutting the door on me, and then texted me afterwards saying he didn't want to see me anymore because I was quote unquote way too anxious for him. So obviously I was really upset by what had happened and the fact that I'd wasted my exclusive support bubble on a dickhead who'd smashed and dashed.
"I'll leave you to put your clothes on," then complained that she was too anxious.
This
she may just be like smoking a cigarette while gazing out the window, like, "Go on then, see you later."
Yeah, going, "You all leave eventually."
Smashed and dashed. This girl and her rhyming couplets are cracking.
I love it. How could he not like her? Is that all of it?
No, there's more.
He didn't even cuddle her. He didn't even... Cuddling is the best bit.
I like how she's like, "I wasted my exclusive support bubble on this man."
The worst thing was that I still had to text him the next day and say that because we'd been in like disappointing close contact for the next 14 days, he still had to let me know if he or any of his family had coronavirus symptoms, which I think is like the most peak COVID millennial anecdote I could give you.
That's a very responsible girl because I wouldn't have done that. I'd be like very vengeful and hoping that him and all his family somehow got it.
I would have hoped I was patient number one and I took down at least 8 members of his family, you know? And every Zoom funeral he had to go to, he had to remember the disappointing sex he had.
Right, one last story. Hang on. Oh, this one's great.
I was going out with someone in 2017 who, through a number of reasons, wanted to break things off. But it's very important to understand that this person was a white English woman.
Okay.
She sent a long list of reasons why we shouldn't be together. Well, actually, a long list of things that I needed to change if things were going to continue. And one of the things was... "Be supportive," and this is an exact quote here, "I cannot believe how disparaging you are towards my rap goals."
I love that person. Imagine, number one, have you ever given that detailed of a list when you're breaking up with someone? Like that, it has to include brackets.
I've never given anyone a list.
No, I've never given anyone a list either. I've kind of just said, "Don't kill me. Okay, bye."
Women have such low standards, or you do. Don't kill me.
I really do. I really do. Yeah, so my rap goals. My rap, what are our
we're,
exact
we're sitting
rap
laughing
goals?
Here. She could be like the English Iggy Azalea.
Yeah, exactly. That's why she should be punished. Like, this is like...
Because the ex that I'm going to tell a story about today did say that I shouldn't go into stand-up and...
Okay.
That was very hurtful.
Well, let's hear your story, Fern, actually.
Yeah, I need to go first with my story today because I haven't told you this story and I've never told you this story before. And I've done an Edinburgh show about a bit of this breakup, but even this bit of the story was too embarrassing to put in the show.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited now.
It reflects badly on me, not the person I went out with.
Okay.
Now, as you know, I've been going out with the same person for nearly a decade, and a lot of people say that I'm very cynical about breakups because I always say, oh, you know, when we break up, and people are like, well, why wouldn't you say you'd be together forever? Because, Alison, I'm a romantic who's been hurt too many times. I was an open, vulnerable, uncynical person before this breakup. I was going out with someone at uni. We had booked to go on holiday after our finals. We booked to go to Barcelona with all our friends and go to this music festival. We broke up before the holiday came around. I was like, we were still getting on, but I was like, I'm obviously not going to go on holiday with my ex. And it was on my birthday as well.
Oh.
And then one of my mates was like, I know, come on, like, come along, you'll have a good time. I got talked into it. I should point out, I was still riding my ex occasionally. But
How occasionally?
Oh, I mean, at least weekly, probably weekly.
That's a relationship. I don't,
no.
I don't shag my boyfriend that often. That's a relationship.
But we'd broke up and...
All right.
Except now every time we rode, I would cry.
No!
I would cry.
Wait. At which point, Fern? At which point would you cry?
I'd say in the run up to it and right after.
he was still like pushed ahead. What a grafter.
It was so embarrassing. I mean, every time, and I was like, I can't believe I'm crying again.
Oh, not to worry, Fern. I'll shag you. It's fine.
So the first night of this holiday, we were still staying. We were in the same room, but we had single beds.
Nice.
And it was my birthday, and he rode me. Then he got back into his bed while I like cried myself to sleep. So I decided that I hated him, and I was going to make the rest of the holiday like the worst holiday he'd ever had.
Nice.
Just be a nightmare. But the worst thing was we went to see a band called The XX at this festival.
Yes. And this is very 2010s. I love it.
It exactly identifies the year. And every single song that had some sort of significance to the relationship.
Every song, I'd say.
Yeah, I'd turn around and look for him in the crowd. And he was standing with this girl who then went on to ride down the line.
No.
I would turn and look into his face and just cry openly while looking at him for like their whole set. I would turn around and cry while he just looked angrier and angrier. So
can you imagine any other like punter at that festival? I was having a good time, yes, until this woman was openly crying at the XX concert. Oh my god.
And then I decided, I mean, we were on this holiday for a week, but it felt like forever.
Fern.
I then decided I was going to get revenge by finding a new man at the festival. I was really drunk and someone had given me this sleeping pill, this American thing called Ambien that's like hypnotic.
Yes.
So I think I'd combined them two things, but I was still walking around. I found this new guy, and I remember walking up to the table of my ex and his friends, and I was like, ha ha, I've got a new man. He was really handsome and Irish, and I remember him having like sort of prematurely graying hair.
Yes.
That's all I really remember. This, from my friend's perspective, they were like, he didn't have grey hair, he was covered in dust and dirt, and he'd come out of a bush, and there was something wrong with him. So I was saying to everyone, hey, this is my new man, and it was just like this dirty drunk guy with twigs coming out his hair. And then I was like, we're going off to watch some bands now. And as we were going away, he ran away from me into a bush and never came back.
So your rebound revenge fuck was Wurzel Grummidge.
I didn't even fuck him. I don't think I even kissed him.
Oh, that's like, nice. Oh, I'm happy for you. He was your trophy. He was your trophy man.
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible how, from my perspective, I was really moving on and getting revenge, but it was just like a guy that had come out of bin. And even he didn't want me.
That's an amazing story.
I've really had to build up to telling it on this, because it's so, the crying bit was the worst.
The crying bit is the best for me. Like it's there's nothing better than watching a breakup at a festival, and I'm sure you made a lot of people happy in the crowd of kind of them witnessing it. I'll tell you my story. The first ever boyfriend I got was this guy, I'm gonna call him Porig, right? Mm-hmm. And Porig, so what happened was, in Ireland, we have this thing called transition year, and it's a year where there's no exams and you kind of have a bit of a DOS. And that year I decided that I was going to exercise lots and eat half a coleslaw and cheese sandwich every day. And I lost so much weight. I looked incredible. I was very, very ill, but people were like, oh my God, you're glowing, Alison, right? And I was like, yes. And I could fit into my friend's clothes. So, like, I was going to this underage disco called the Harriers, which is in, it's in a place. Have you heard of Offaly, Fern?
Yeah, yeah.
So, basically, this underage disco was the fingering capital of the Midlands, right? And it's where you went to get fingered, generally, on a Saturday night if you were 15. And so we went to this underage disco, and like Special D was playing, and like Bass Hunter, it was that type of music. And there was this guy called Porg, and he saw me in the smoking area. Now, why did an underage disco have a smoking area? I don't know.
I've just realised that.
Yeah. I've been trying to like figure it out in my head, and I'm like, no, that did exist. And I was smoking my cigarette, and he was like, his friend came up to me and said, my friend wants to shift you, right? And my self-esteem was that low at that point, and I was always like the organizer of shifting, and I was like, smoking my fag, going, he doesn't want to shift me. And then he'd come up and go, no, I do. And then I shifted him, and then I got his number.
Shifting, by the way, for British listeners, means kissing.
Kissing with tongue.
French kissing.
French.
I sound like I'm 60 years old.
Yeah. It's a, I wonder what like Google Translate, I hate the word snog though. What do you use for like kissing with tongues?
I've been saying shifting for a few years now because my boyfriend's Irish.
I used to say
getting off with, but I think some people, does that actually mean sex?
Getting off to me indicates, so I think if we were to break down what is a shift, like I think shifting is like just plain, you know, I love watching people shift in like kebab places. It's that kind
it's
of like
so weird. What? It's like because you love watching YouTube montage videos of people fighting in McDonald's, and now it's shifting in kebab shop.
Look, babes, if it's like sex and violence and it happens near food, I'm watching it. Like as long as the food is convenient and the images are disgusting, I'm up for it. But like, do you ever look at people when they shift at the end of a night out and they're kind of just both stood there and there's no movement of their hands, there's no passion, but their mouths are like stuck together? Like, that was the type of shifting we were doing. This guy, this is like a week before Valentine's Day. I'd never had a boyfriend ever before, but I always wanted a boyfriend for Valentine's Day. I always wanted a gift. And we were texting, and we went to meet in Athlone, and he had to get the train to Athlone because he was from Offaly and I was from Westmeath. These are two different counties, so it was a long distance relationship to us because it's like 20 kilometers apart. And he came up, I bought him jelly beans on the off chance that he might want something for Valentine's Day. We met on Valentine's Day on our first date, and he brought me roses. And I was like a feral child. I'd never received any sort of gift or any. I'd never received affection off a lad ever in my life before, and I felt like a feral child. I got the flowers, and I lifted them above my head, and I couldn't take a sincere gesture of affection. That I just started making a joke, and I was like, "Ha, ah, these flowers are great," and I started whacking them off the side of a wall. I just off the side of a off the side of a Primark. I just started destroying these flowers off the side of a Primark, and I was like, "I bet you love me now, you bastard!" And I started just whacking him. I couldn't do it. I couldn't deal with it. And then he looked really sad, and I gave him like the jelly babies, and I was like, "I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do. You're my first boyfriend." He's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, it's fine." And I broke up with him later that day because he liked Nirvana, and I thought it couldn't work. So that was the breakup that I had. And before, I kind of always said to myself, I was always the person I was broken up with. I always saw myself as a victim, but I just totally forgot about this poor Porig fella, because we kind of went out for it. We shifted, and then we shifted again.
He earnestly gave you flowers, and you whacked them off the side of Primark while taking the piss out of them.
I know.
Right, sorry, our guest Sarah Pascoe's here. I can't believe we managed to get her. He's one of my favourite comedians that I've been into since before I was a comedian. Have you ever been dumped in a mortifying way, or have you ever dumped someone in an embarrassing way?
I think both, actually. This guy, I met him in Edinburgh. I was very impressed with him because he was a TV presenter, and I know, and I've now learned like not to be impressed by TV presenters, because actually to read an auto cue, you kind of have to have an empty brain. Like, you actually have
right.
to have like...
such a nothing job. I've always held them in contempt.
Yeah, well, I think there are some really nice ones. Like, I think Claudia Winkleman and Tess Daly are probably like absolutely like lovely people. So this isn't to slight all of them. I think a percentage of TV presenters are not interesting. I don't think they have interesting thoughts, so I think it would be too hard to like be excited about who's getting evicted this week. You just be like, "Oh, I don't care." So he's a TV presenter, and we were both in relationships, and we both had to like come out of those relationships so that we could be together, which in Edinburgh felt like, oh my god, so exciting, so dramatic. And I actually made a boyfriend, get on the train to Edinburgh so I could do it in person, which was, looking back, I think, so shit. But my logic was, for 4 hours on a train, had to say it to his face, 4 hours on the train, and then I'll break up with him. And then he was like, "What am I going to do?" And then I said, "Well, go back to London." And he was too tired, so he stayed in my flat on the floor. And then I wanted to go out with the other guy, and he was like, "You can't. You have to just like he said, you've just done this most awful thing. And he was right. So I had to stay in and I was really miserable. So it's actually really sad for me as well.
Did you watch telly or what did you do to like pass?
There's no TV. It was student accommodation. Oh. It was just one of those single bed rubber mattress places. Yeah. So there wasn't TV.
Well, but, done on admitting to it. Go on.
Yes. Well, that's it. So firstly, I'd done my thing. I split up with my boyfriend. Then he went home again. Then I got together with this guy. And then we came back to London. And obviously, like, life was different. He was then, like, presenting his TV programme. But I was quite impressed with him because he worked in TV. Like, he had two houses. And that's ridiculous. Like, imagine not only like, having one house, like, in London at all. Like, you've bought a house. Ridiculous. But imagine having two. So impressive. Until one day, about 6 weeks later, I was asleep in bed, his bed, with no clothes on. And like he'd gone out to work, like, early in the morning. And a woman let herself into his house with door keys. And then she screamed when she saw me, like, what are you doing in my house? He hadn't broken up with the girlfriend. She just lived in a different house. She lived in the other house. So he hadn't broken up with her. He had come back from Edinburgh, carried on his life, like, but basically been cheating with me, even though I didn't know about it. And I had only seen, I wondered why he had no furniture and stuff. Like, I just thought he was really minimalist, that in this house he didn't have, like, any decorations or stuff. And it was so horrible. And then she was standing there as, like, I was getting dressed. Like, I was, like, putting my tights on and putting my clothes on and, like, saying sorry to her. And she, like, it was horrible watching her face, because what it looked like was like, you know, like in Hollyoaks and stuff, when people try and show the actor showing their world falling apart, like, yes. And they do like this overacting. but that's what I was actually thinking when I look at her, was watching her face, like, oh no, that's what it looks like. That's what actors are trying to do. That thing where you're trying to take in all of the information at once and what it means. So I'm
trying to, just the image of frantically putting your tights on, because I ripped all my tights from putting them on too aggressively. So trying to carefully put them on while a woman's glaring at you.
Tights are so hard to put on, actually.
Yeah. You can't put on tights with any emotion. It needs to be like a very clear day.
I'm just trying to guess who this was. Was it one of the Top Gear lads?
That would be such a brilliant story. And it was Richard Hammond. It was Hammond the hamster. I mean, I can't believe he treated me like that. He seems like such a nice guy.
I'm so happy we made a podcast to facilitate this story. Like, this is the perfect.
Yeah. Because it was the weirdest way I was ever dumped, because obviously I left his house. Yeah. She was inside it. I called him and told him what happened. He didn't pick up and he just never spoke to me ever again.
No.
And so I've been like in the same place as him. And it's so weird because there's this big palpable like, oh, you didn't apologize. You didn't explain it to me. There was no conversation. It was just like, done.
So let's scratch breakups off the wheel. And Sarah, do you have a subject you want us to put on it?
Okay. I am going to... the topic of insecurity is what I'm going to give you to do.
I love it. That's a brilliant
really
one.
Really good.
Right. I'm going to spin this wheel and see where it lands then. Doo-doo-doo. Tell me to stop, Fern.
Stop.
Ooh. Okay. Work. We've got to talk about work next week.
Amazing. I've had so many jobs.
me too.
It's very exciting. I was once caught shoplifting in the Body Shop, so maybe I'll tweet you about that.
Oh, please do. Please do.
Yeah.
Tweet us every week. Listen, Sarah, that story was better than I could have even hoped for.
That was incredible.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do
this. Thank you so much.
Please subscribe to the podcast on BBC Sounds, and you can also follow us on social media. My Twitter is at Fern Brady, my Instagram is at Fern from Bathgate, and Alison, you are at
Alison Spittle, both on Twitter and on Instagram.
And if you like listening to the sound of my voice, have a listen to Evil Genius with Russell Cain. I was on it and I had to judge whether Bill Hicks was evil or genius.
Ooh.
Wheel of Misfortune with Alison and Fern is produced by Beth O'Dea. It's a BBC Bristol production for BBC Sounds.
Wheel of Misfortune. with Alison and Fern. We don't like breakups, when we'll ever learn. I'm going to do it one more time. I'm just very hungry and I want crackers.
We love misfortune through a humorous lens. Sometimes you break up, you intend to be friends. Other times you have low self-esteem. You smash flowers off Primark and shatter boys' dreams.
That's incredible!
What's good, people? It's your boy Alhan Gencay, aka Turkish Delight, and I'm the troublemaker who's finally managed to infiltrate the BBC. I'm here to tell you about my brand new show, Alhan's World. I'm asking life's big questions to a load of experts and MCs. I've got man like Big Zoo.
How you doing, Alhan?
KSI. What rappers would you say you're better than?
Look at you, fam.
And Birmingham's hardest rapper, it's JK Blood. Who would you box? KSI?
You're just a shit star, right?
You should go for KSI. Subscribe to Alhan's World now on BBC Sounds.